Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Marriage and Martinis, and I'm Adam.
I'm Danielle.
And we have a new episode about our parenting strengths. Let's leave it at that. Parenting strengths. Not weaknesses.
No.
Strengths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It might be the shortest episode yet.
Thank you very much for listening. And
I felt like we need something. We've done two back-to-back episodes that were super intense and that were very much us being very vulnerable and honest about a lot of hard stuff we've gone through. Mm-hmm. I felt like maybe we need a pick-me-up, but also a pick-me-up that isn't just about our marriage. Maybe something that's bigger than that, that we could sort of like get out of that zone. I think we need a break, maybe.
Yeah, but I still think trying to talk about our strengths is going to bring up our weaknesses.
That's what I figured. I think the thing about us is that, like, I think if I was to listen to another podcast about somebody's parenting strengths, I'd be like, ugh, you know what? I don't want to listen to you like brag about how your bento box lunches, right, and you know how you turn off the Wi-Fi until your kids vacuum the rugs and empty the dishwasher.
Or like the dad who goes to every football game and coaches the game. And
yeah, I think
that's good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying.
No, totally. I'm like, go for it.
Yeah, if you can do it, awesome.
But that would annoy me. I think for us, we're so naturally self-deprecating I think that people know that, listen, if we talk about our parenting strengths, yes, I do think we have a lot of them. But I also think people know, like, we're by no means bragging. It's just sort of us the same way that we, in a real way, talk about all the bullshit, are sort of like, okay, yeah, but you know what? We do try really hard and we are doing our best to raise, you know, good human beings. And I think that we're doing an okay job.
So far.
Well, I think in some ways, some of the hardest parts are over. I know there's still going to be hard parts. Don't get me wrong.
Well, it's a new set of hard parts to come.
Yes, but I think that you can look at our kids at this point and like know that they're probably not going to be serial killers.
Yeah, probably.
You know what I mean? Like they're not setting cats on fire, right?
But Jonah's still young.
Oh, come on. He is like the most sensitive kid ever. Yeah. No, but I feel like we're in the right direction.
I think so.
You know what I mean? Yeah. For the most part. Like we haven't had any, I think like when I was, when I was just a little bit older than Jonah, I was stealing cigarettes from my babysitter and smoking in the woods.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes, with my friend who lived down the street, we would steal cigarettes from I had a babysitter during the day, even though my mom was home. And we would steal her cigarette. We were like infatuated with the idea of cigarettes. And we would go into the wood. Wow. I don't think any of our kids are smokers yet.
I don't think so.
Yes. So I think, not to say that my parents weren't doing a good job. It had nothing to do with my character. I was just always a very experimental kid.
But it was the 80s. So
it was the 80s.
Things were quite different.
Uh-huh.
It's really hot in here. Did you like, crank up.
I did turn up the heat somewhat.
My God, I'm just fucking sweating here.
But it was really cold in here before.
Okay. All right.
I wanted to start a little bit with some feedback from the guilt episode because we got so much and it was such a heavily downloaded episode. If you have not listened to it yet, I apologize. Spoiler alerts, you might want to go back and you might want to skip this.
Press that 30-second button.
Well, yeah, even more than that, just go back and listen to it first, maybe.
Okay, so stop now.
Yeah, and then I wanted just a tiny bit. I wanted to talk about the moving forward episode. But the guilt episode, we got a ton of feedback, most of it very positive, most of it saying, thank you so much for being so vulnerable. I now went out with my girlfriends and we all shared stuff that we would never have shared before. People professing stuff to me that they hadn't professed to anybody else.
Oh, wait. So people are talking to their friends and like they're being more open because they heard us talk about it.
Yeah.
So
and I actually did that the other night with a friend.
Wow.
That I shared something that I had never shared with anybody before.
Can I never go out with her again?
Well, I mean, it's no different than you not going out with any of our other friends. So it's all good. No, but I almost felt like there's part of me at certain moments. I'm like, oh, shit. What did we do? Why did we share that stuff? Because, you know, I think that for the 90% of people who are probably listening saying, wow, that's really cool. And I know that they probably still really love each other. And we get, you know, all these messages saying, look, we get it. We know that you have had struggles, but you still love each other. There's the other 10% that's like, damn, now I know their business. And I think those people are probably more like maybe people who maybe don't know us, but somewhat know us. Although I've gotten a ton of messages from people who kind of know us, like from the area, who have been like, thank you also. You know,
oh, really?
Yeah. So, but you know that there's always those people who just want the dirt. That they're just downloading the... They probably haven't downloaded any other episode. They're just downloading that episode to hear what we're confessing.
Yeah, somebody told them, you got to listen to this.
Exactly. Oh, you know them who live over on blah, blah, blah street, you know? But for the most part, people have been amazingly supportive. Is there any part of you that wishes we hadn't done it?
No.
Okay.
No. Why would I be doing this podcast if I would wish I had?
Right. Exactly.
I always picture like a woman coming into the store and seeing me and be like, "Holy shit, you're Adam from Marriage and Martinis," and then like punching me in the face.
Oh, I was gonna say and taking out a gun and shooting you.
Whichever.
I just went the whole way.
I work all day and I think those things like.
Good.
Somebody's going to come in and be like, holy shit, hey, you're Adam.
Good.
Bam.
Right.
Right in the fucking kisser.
Right. Or they're going to be like, I'm a stripper, come to my club tonight.
fucking over.
But there was one email that I wanted to talk about in particular that I thought was interesting. He basically said, and I knew this was sort of going to be a question. I got this. I just listened to your guilt episode, not to get anyone in further trouble, but
is that possible?
It's possible. I don't understand how you can say that there are no bars open in New York City past midnight. New York is the city that never sleeps for a reason. I feel like all your listeners are now confused. I've lived here for 20 years and I promise you every bar except maybe a hotel and a quiet except a hotel bar and a quiet hotel is open until 3 a.m. or 4 a.m.
Here's my rebuttal to that.
Okay.
Do you remember being in the city with friends a few years ago? We could not find a bar past 12? I don't know what time it was. We ended up walking around all of downtown and found nothing. Do you remember this?
I do.
Okay.
I'm not accusing you. I was going to... holy shit.
I just got really defensive.
Yes, you did. No, I actually was going to say no. Listen, I appreciate... He was very respectful about it. I totally appreciate... And I get the question. And I think you get the question too.
Of course.
There's two sides to this. There's the first side of, yes, when we were younger, we used to go out and play pool places. We both loved to play pool. We used to go out until 4 or 5 in the morning at a pub or, you know, a bit of a shady bar. And we would legitimately be out until 4 or 5 in the morning, last mm-hmm. call all the time. We have recently, as we've gotten older, maybe our taste in bars has changed.
Right.
And we've gone to certain places and like a loungy type place. Like we were last time we were in the city, we were at Nobu. And at 11:30, they came to us. We were ready to like sit there all night. And they were like, it's last call.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess it does depend. And maybe we don't know the city as well as we used to. So we don't know the places to go. So if we go in somewhere and we go into 3 places in a row that are closing, we don't keep going and trying. And mm-hmm. you know what I mean? That being said, I know what he's talking about. And listen, I have in my head, I can't even tell you, pictured every fucking scenario of, you know, of you being somewhere in like some kind of eyes wide shut orgy to.
I don't know what that means.
Like that I have pictured. I understand what he's saying. Like there's part of me that doesn't need somebody to say to me, I've thought of everything. Why did he do that? Why did he not say this? Why did he this? Why did he that? There's all these unanswered questions that I could think about until I'm in a fucking retirement home. But it's exhausting. And I do know that there is something to be said for the fact that it's hard to find somewhere to go out at certain times of the night, and maybe you just knew and it was easier for you to just go to a strip club. In my experience that we've been in the city recently, we have had trouble finding places to go out late. It might be the type of place we're going to or the area we're in. I don't know. We will do a whole episode on trust. Oh, don't you worry. We will.
Yes. That is going to be a solo podcast by Danielle.
No, it's not. No way.
I'll be here for that one. Mm-mm.
Okay, so that is what I have to say about that.
Wait, that won't even be good. I should say that's not a good situation.
What, a trust episode?
By yourself doing a trust episode.
Oh, of course. No.
That was a bad.
I think a lot of women, a trust episode would be. And I think a lot of men. I think trust in a marriage is a really hard thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You have to, there's just so many layers to that. But also, I was listening to the Moving Forward episode. Mm-hmm. Like, because sometimes I listen back. I don't love, I'll listen to the podcast once to edit, and then I don't like listening to it anymore because I get so, I scrutinize myself.
Well, I don't want you to, because you come back to me every time, take this out, edit
we
this,
we have editing differences.
And then we would never release anything.
But I was listening to the end, and I was like, holy shit, I'm really drunk. Like I was like, I was like slurring my words.
You did that every episode.
You know what I thought of? It reminded me of, you know, that scene in The Wolf of Wall Street where he, I don't know if he's on Quaaludes or I don't know, he does all kinds of stuff. So I don't know what he's on. And he goes for some reason to the country club in his like Lamborghini.
Yeah.
And he drives back, and the first time you see it, he like does great. Mm-hmm. And he goes home and everything's fine. And then they replay it, what really happened. And he's like crawling, rolling down the stairs to the car, getting in the car, like his body, I think, is like half out of the car while he's driving. Like, and you're like, oh shit, that's what really happened. That's kind of what it's
that's
like.
Funny. Yeah, sometimes. That was the like expired Quaaludes or something with like extra strength or whatever. But they
I don't know. I've never done Quaaludes before.
They didn't work, and then they took too much and they kicked in. Yeah, that was a great scene.
Yeah. I just felt like, oh, yeah, that's kind of what this was like, because I don't remember being like that at the end of the episode.
So on that note, should we start?
Let's dive in.
That's my line.
I know.
Let's dive right in. Mm-hmm. Okay. So again, parenting strengths. How are we good parents? What makes us pretty good parents? Me start as usual?
Me start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you had to sum up our parenting in 3 words, what would they be? So the first term that I came up with was abnormal / like unconventional. I always thought of us as kind of unconventional parents, kind of abnormal, like to what we kind of see and live around. So that was my first thought. But after doing this podcast, and we had this community of like 75,000 people, we're not so abnormal anymore. Like we're finding all these people that are just like us and relating
to us.
That's
right. Yeah.
So abnormal becomes kind of normal. Like, so I guess in our, where we are, maybe we're kind of unconventional here, but we're finding that we're not so unconventional out in the mess. Like, that's why people are listening to us. That's true. Because they relate to this.
That's true. I do. I do feel more. I feel very comfortable sharing with people on the podcast because they are also willing to. Like, I get pictures of, you know, people send me pictures of their kids like doing, you know, stuff that is probably they shouldn't be doing. And
yeah, I've seen a bunch of pictures sent to you of like their sink, their kitchen sink.
Well, I think it's like a funny picture that you can't post on Facebook because people will, but you want somebody to see it.
Right.
And they know that if they send it to us, we'll be like, rock on, baby. Like, great. You know, that was great.
Yeah.
So I think that in a sense, we've become, you know, if you need to express something about yourself and you, but you're too afraid to do it to the masses, send it to Danielle.
Yeah. So,
and I love it. It's fun.
Of course you do.
Of course you
do. Makes you feel normal.
Yes, it does.
Right.
Yes, it does.
So abnormal, but yeah, not so abnormal. Another one would be, I'd say we're very relaxed, like to a point, like except for when you get batshit crazy, like yelling and screaming all over the house. Aside from that, I think we're very relaxed parents.
Wait a minute. What about when you get all crazy and are throwing our kids like all over the place and I'm worried that—
No, that's fun.
Oh, that's not crazy.
No.
That I'm like legitimately like, well, this could end two ways. It'll end either with Adam passing out head down or face down in his bedroom, or we're all going to be at the ER because somebody ended up hitting their head on something.
Well, neither of those two things have ever happened. So
you've never passed out?
Passed out, faced out? Like when do I ever?
You don't pass out.
No.
Yeah. Man, your tolerance is... I don't know if you should be proud or appalled.
It's practice. You know, you just got to know what you can do.
Wow, you really do have a big tolerance. You do, because I, after, if we record a podcast episode, I'm like, I got to go to bed.
Well, everybody's seen your picture that I took of you with all you on your butt.
Well, and you, not only that picture, but I feel like you've said before that you might make a scrapbook of those pictures.
I have. If anybody wants any more, let me know. I have that picture like 20 times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Different high heels for each one.
Same pair of jeans because it's the only jeans I wear. But yes.
But I think we're relaxed. And I think...
Laid back, yeah.
Laid back. Thank you. That's even better. We're laid back parents. So I'm not going to get more into it than that because it comes up later, but that's just another, I guess, word to sum up our parenting. And I think lastly, I think we're both very loving and affectionate with our kids. Mm-hmm. I think we both love to snuggle with the kids. We both love to, you know, play with the kids. We both love to,
don't love to play with the kids.
Oh, you don't?
Not even a little. No, like I legitimately count the minutes until a game is going to be done.
Oh.
No, I really, I mean that. I don't, like, Mia used to want me to play Barbies with her, and I used to be like, ugh, I don't want to fucking play Barbies with you.
Oh, see, for me.
It's like video games.
We're playing things that I like doing, so.
Well, that's the thing, is that Jonah wants me sometimes, is like, Mommy, do you want to play, you know, the DS with me, or, you know, Nintendo with me? Right. I hate video games. I have no interest in that. It doesn't excite me at all. So,
okay, well, you know, all right, that's a little bit unrelated. Just saying that we both...
I mean, I love spending time with them. I don't want to be their playmate. That, to me, is not fun. I do not like that part of parenting, but I feel like you do. You like to be their playmate.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, like you like to bake with Mia.
Yeah, hold off on that.
Okay.
Because that's coming up too. This was about just being loving and affectionate with the kids. We both do that. We both love to snuggle and lay with them.
Yeah, we're crazy affectionate with the kids. Right. Mia won't let us anymore.
Right, correct. So those are my three things. So abnormal, which we're not anymore. So I guess we lost that one.
Well, we are in our own ways.
Of course we are. I think we're very laid back and relaxed. And we both love and, you know, show affection to our kids. Mm-hmm. And so I think that sums up our strengths as parents.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't think I answered that.
Oh, man.
You did a really good job, though.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
Right?
Yeah, I think I would have said the same things. That was really good.
I win.
No, my first thing was, what do you think your biggest parenting strengths are?
Of course it is.
What?
There's so much more before that.
Oh, there is? Oh, what else did you put?
You asked me also, in what ways are we unconventional parents?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
You did that.
No, but go ahead.
You know what? I mean, these are kind of not positive. Should I just skip it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. How not positive are they? Yeah, why did you do not positive on the parenting
Because
strength?
I was thinking unconventional.
That's all right. Go ahead. Oh, these. So you have? Do you think we're negatively unconventional?
But isn't that what unconventional means, kind of?
No. What?
Oh, I don't know.
Why should that be negative?
Because wouldn't the norm be the right thing to do?
I completely disagree.
I do too. But I'm just saying, isn't
Okay, so say what it is.
So we don't do everything that like our kids want to do or they're supposed to do. Right? If they have a thing to do, we try to find a way to not have them do that thing. Like, you want an example?
Please, because what the fuck?
Like, yesterday, Jonah had a Cub Scout thing, and you were like, I don't want to fucking do that. Mm-hmm. So you convinced him that he didn't really want to go.
I do not want to go to a Cub Scout bowling party from 6:30 to 8:30 on a Friday night.
That's unconventional. No. Most parents would be like, all right, he has this thing. We'll make sure that he's there.
Right, but he was fine not to go.
And I'm using you as an example because I want to throw you under the bus for this one. Mm-hmm. But we both do it, obviously. Mm-hmm. So we both do that equally.
But he goes to plenty of Cub Scout meetings.
You don't have to rationalize it. I'm just saying.
Well, a little bit I do.
Many people do that.
Okay.
Right? No?
Yeah, that's, I mean, granted I was in bed by 6:30 last night. But yeah, it's a Friday night.
We convince our kids not to do things that they kind of not so much want to do.
Yeah.
But they should because they're supposed to. And then we're like, you don't really want to do it, right?
Right, right. You want to stay home and play video games instead, right? Yeah. You want to, there's been a new level added to whatever it is.
Oh, and here's like 20 V-Bucks. So go do this instead.
Yes.
And then also, we kind of don't care what they're doing or watching. To a certain point, which is very unconventional. As long as they're good and respectful people and they don't do things out in the open or to the public and insult anybody in any way, watch whatever you want to watch. Spend as much, like Ian saw Ted at 4 years old or whatever it was.
No, they weren't four.
Well, how old is six?
Seven, eight, yeah.
Seven, all right, even still.
Yeah, that but listen to the Hot Mess Parenting.
Spending too much time on their iPhones, their iPads, all that shit. A lot of people got that like under wraps. We don't.
When our kids were 5 and 6, they were watching, or I shouldn't say 5 and 6, 6, 7, 7, 8, they were watching Friends. Mm-hmm. And some people would say to me like, you let your kids watch Friends? Like there's a lot of like quote unquote inappropriate stuff there.
Okay.
But to the core, Friends is about six friends like taking care of each other. And it's pretty innocuous and it's pretty benign. And I was always
it was for the 90s. I think it's very dated.
Yes.
It does not work today. So anybody who's having kids today or grow up in the 2000s possibly could look at that like, that's kind of bizarre ways of looking at life and having friends in their situations.
What? Because it's about six people who love each other and take care of each other.
Yeah, but the jokes and the things that happen in that show are so dated, they would never happen today.
But what's wrong with watching something that's dated that's all about...
I have no problem
but
with it.
But I don't even think your logic is right.
Usually it's not.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think that people question me about my choices. Like our kids have, you know, Love, Simon is Mia's favorite movie ever. She just bought the record today at the record store we took her to about a gay boy. And, you know, he falls in love with another boy. I know a lot of parents who wouldn't let their kids see that movie. And I'm sort of like, to me, I would rather her watch that than 13 Reasons Why.
I don't even consider that in the same.
Of course. Yeah. I guess 13. I don't know. 13 Reasons Why. I don't know.
Okay.
It just.
I didn't see either, so I can't even compare.
Yeah, it's just a hard. Like some of the things that our kids watch. Listen, Ted. Yes, should your kids watch Ted? maybe in the realm of the you know, what people let their kids watch, maybe not, but nobody does anything bad to each other.
Right.
Nobody is turning their backs on each other or doing anything, you know, racist or anti-Semitic or, you know, I just feel like in some ways my gauge is more how, okay, now, are they treating people okay?
It's drug jokes and sex jokes and like, it's Family Guy with a teddy bear.
Right.
So.
And listen, was I happy when I found out he watched it? No, I was not.
He shouldn't have watched it.
Right. But it's one of those things that
right, fine. Right. Don't ever say that in public.
Had he watched something completely like a hate crime thing or...
what was it called? American X.
I never saw it. American History X.
American History X.
I don't even know what that is.
Like, that's not one for the kids.
Right. Like, there's certain things that you're like, I don't want them getting ideas. You never saw that? I did not.
You don't want to? Like, it's too
intense? I don't know. I just never did.
It's intense.
Yeah, I don't know if I can watch it.
It's hardcore.
Yeah.
I watched it once. I don't know if I'll watch it again. Mm. It's hard.
Like Schindler's List. I will never watch that again.
I think that's coming back to the theater.
I mean, is that something kids should see? Popcorn and go, people.
Is that something kids should see? Jewish kids?
Schindler's List?
Yes.
No.
Why? It's a history movie.
Oh, come on. No way. No.
Not a seven-year-old.
No, I wouldn't. Plus. No, I saw that movie, I think, when I was 20 years old, and it scarred me for years. That's a really...
Okay, but it's a history lesson.
But would rather them read Anne Frank, or we took them to the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam.
That doesn't even give you a fraction of
So what does it give them by watching it?
Their history.
Oh, come on.
What the Holocaust was really about. But what it really was.
You're going to really put your kid through that? Isn't there a reason why we're trying to never make the Holocaust happen again?
I'm not trying to say this is what we should do. I'm just saying, is that something that kids should see?
No. In my mind, no, 1,000 times. Okay. I would never, ever, ever make. Even the Anne Frank House, we took them to that. And there was even part of me that was like, this is a lot for them. Like, they had the videos of what happened to Anne Frank and the trains of the Jews being pulled away. And I mean, absolutely. Like, there's certain movies that I would never like have them watch 12 Years a Slave, even though I want them to know about slavery and I want them to realize that that's part of our country's history. I don't need them to relive that. It's not part of their all their friends are like fucking going to see Taylor Swift in concert, and I'm gonna sit them down and like have them see Schindler's List or 12 Years
all their friends are going to see Taylor Swift.
Sure, a lot
they
of
got
them
good friends. All right, let's keep going. Mm-hmm. That was a long tangent. Mm-hmm. So all right, what was your, because we just finished How We're Unconventional, so mm-hmm. what
things
was your
we do,
next
things I think we do well.
Oh, that's a good turning point. So go ahead. What do we do?
Yeah, well, the thing, the unconventional, I was going to say the same thing.
You are so out of, that's the last question you asked me.
Oh, it is?
Ugh, you do this every time.
Sorry.
All right, what do we do well besides organize?
Well, I was even going to say if you want to talk about unconventional parenting. So my whole thing is I was raised with a very unconventional mother. Right? Would you say she's unconventional?
I'm not answering that one. What are you, fucking crazy? I think she's great.
So you're saying, but I don't, so you're saying unconventional means negative.
What?
You're equating then unconventional with negative.
I did that before too, didn't I?
I don't think that that's at all synonymous.
Okay, good. Then yes, she's very unconventional.
I like unconventional. I'm very proud that we're unconventional. Because I think we do it with a thought process
involved. It has a negative
involved.
Connotation to it, doesn't
it? I don't think unconventional?
Yeah. Like, when I say to you unconventional, do you think positive or negative or neutral?
I think it depends what it is. I do not think negative at all.
Okay.
Unconventional? I think almost, fuck yeah.
Doesn't the word un, mean,
If you untie your shoes.
Fuck you for calling me out on that one.
No, but seriously, I don't think that means anything terrible.
Putting un in front of a word, doesn't that make it kind of negative?
I have undying love for you.
Oh, God. Yeah. All right.
I mean, no, not at all.
All right, because I don't know English too well. So keep going.
I think I was raised with even more unconventional
mother. Yes, your
mother
is very unconventional.
She's an anomaly, right? Like if someone came to me today and was like, your mom was abducted by aliens and brought back, and that's why she was the way she was.
That
I'd be like, obviously.
Yes, that makes sense.
So my mom was a type who, so she took me when I was 3 years old to the movies. My first movie in the movie theater was The Best Little House in Texas.
Right.
Like, you know, I don't know. Have you seen The Best Little House in Texas?
But you were 17.
That's so sad.
What's the big deal?
I was three.
Oh.
So she really wanted to see it. She did not have a babysitter for me. She just brought me with her. I will, to this day. Ooh,
you move your hands a lot.
I know. Yeah. I do move my hands a lot. To this day, I will never forget that experience of the dancing and the singing. And I know that there's a lot of sex in it, but that's not what stayed with me.
So it's the name in itself.
Best with, whorehouse. And I didn't know what a whorehouse was.
Right. So was there anything as a three? Mm-hmm. Well, that's too young. If you were six, is there anything that you could have walked away with that would have scarred
you?
Oh,
I think I watched it when I was 6 and 7 1,000 times.
But you already saw it. Like if your mom took you as a 6 year old to the theater and you saw it, is there anything that would have scarred you at all?
It scarred me.
I didn't
no.
see it, so I don't know what's in it. So
no, my mom, I think my mom's whole thing was like, okay, so there's
what's
a bit
bad?
Of sex and they're, you know, it's a very healthy environment and you know, there, maybe not all sex, you know, like maybe not all sex ranches are like healthy environments, but I think she was sort of like, it's great music. It's Dolly Parton. It's Burt Reynolds. It's a lot of people like dancing around in Western like outfits and cowboy boots. And who the fuck cares? Like it's a fucking like fun movie. And I love that about her that she thought that. And I don't think it scarred me in any way. I haven't like gone off to, you know.
No, I don't know. Is there anything in that movie that could scar a child?
Not scar a child, but for sure there's like, well, a lot of sex.
Okay, but like Schindler's List can scar a child.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my question. Is there anything?
Oh my God, no.
Okay.
But there are a lot of people who would say, you know, I'm sure when she brought, well, it was the 80s,
right,
so probably not. But listen, she definitely brought me to a movie that was, first of all, R-rated. Second of all, there's nudity. It was, you know, and back then I think probably it was more accepted, but I don't think it was completely accepted. Like, I think I always knew I had a mom. None of my friends' parents. I saw Purple Rain probably 3 years later with my mom.
When you were three in 1980, seeing nudity on screen is like nothing today. That's like to, what do you equate that to? Like, would you even think, would you even have a question in your mind to take your kid to a movie today that had some nudity in
it? Yes, I would.
You would?
Oh, yeah, because I'll be completely judged.
But I feel like that's just this common...
What?
Like, that's a nothing today.
What?
Really?
You're wrong.
Okay.
No way. No way.
Nudity? They close their eyes for 2 seconds and
it's over. First of all, I don't think there are as many movies with nudity in it today as there were when we were growing up.
I think what I'm trying to say is back then, nudity was a big deal in movies.
But there was a lot of nudity.
Was
I mean, I saw Flashdance when I was back. You know, I saw the vacation scene where Christie Brinkley dives nude into the pool. Like, there was nothing. I remember Blame It on Rio. If any of you have ever seen Blame It on Rio with Michael Caine, I think is in that. I can't remember who else. I can't remember who else right now. But that's like a very sexy movie. I didn't see it in the theaters, but I watched it at home and my parents were walking in and out of the family room and, oh, okay, you're watching. I mean, nobody fucking cared. Mm-hmm. But I was not allowed to watch violence. Any kind of violence was not okay.
That makes sense.
Does it?
I think so.
It all depends on who you are. If you
Wait
are
a minute. We're all nude. Everybody's nude.
All right. No.
It's not,
Come on. No, now you're being stupid.
Excuse me.
That's the...
No, I disagree with you. There's a difference between nudity and violence.
Okay, but nudity for sexual purposes is different than like Adam and Eve were nude in the garden because they didn't have any clothes. And if you're nude in a sexual way, Sure, that's a completely different thing.
So you choose...
No, I'm not choosing. I'm just saying for you to say nudity is no big deal, I disagree.
That's not what I said. I said when you were equating nudity versus violence, I take nudity a thousand times over violence for somebody to see.
It depends what kind of violence. Some violence is, like, who cares?
See, I think that's sad. Nudity. I mean, like seeing somebody's naked body. We're all,
we all have naked bodies.
We don't all have violence in us.
I think it can be confusing. I do. I think it can be confusing.
Okay, so explain.
I don't know that I would take Ian to see the same movies at that age that I would take Mia to. Because she, I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay.
I disagree with you.
Okay.
I don't know that my mom would have taken my brother to that at the same age. I can't say she wouldn't have, mm-hmm. but I can't say she would have. I think it's a different thing.
So she would have taken him to see Predator before you would go to Predator.
My mom never would have taken anybody
to see
Predator.
You know what I'm trying to say.
No, I think that she took us because she wanted to see a movie and she didn't have a babysitter and she took us. That's it.
Right. So your mom's unconventional. That was the point of this whole story.
In so many ways.
Right.
So many ways, but it's inspired me in many ways too. Yeah.
All right. What else?
I think that one of the biggest strengths is that we are raising kids who are really like aware, non-judgmental, sensitive, and kind. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that. I think we have three kids who are very different human beings. We're not raising them all, like none of them are similar.
Not in any way.
Not in the sense of like they all have different interests. They all have different ideas about, you know, academics or what they're interested in. Like, so you can't say down the line that we're trying to convince them to be a certain way other than the fact that they know that they need to be non-judgmental, like sensitive human beings.
Oh, I have exact same answer.
Well, I think that's probably our biggest strength.
Yeah.
I think with all the shit, and we are probably questionable parents in some ways, I think our biggest strength is that we are raising like humans of the world, like humans who you want to be. You want your kid to be friends with our kid.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you want our kid to someday grow up and be whatever they're going to be. They are doing it for the betterment of society.
Yeah. If like today, if you have a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, or a 13-year-old, you should be friends with our kids. They're going to make you feel good about yourself. Mm-hmm. They're going to have fun with you. They're going to be good people to your child. They're going to be...
Yeah, they're no drama. None of them are any drama. Like Mia...
And no judgment.
Our middle schooler deals with all kinds of drama at school. She comes home and she's like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I go off and I... You know, she does her her own thing and she's has her causes that she fights for and... There are a lot of things I think that our kids are really successful at, despite the fact that they have parents who maybe, like you said, aren't the norm.
But our kids aren't the norm either, which I think is good.
Yes, 100%. I don't think we have kids who are the norm either. Yeah. So if I'm going to talk about how I think we do that, and I might sound like I'm bragging, but at the same time, I think that there are a thousand ways that we say, maybe don't follow our lead. But this is one that I think we do well, or I do well.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you think you're so actively involved with this?
With what? Did you say it?
Creating like kind, aware, sensitive human beings.
I think you're the main factor in that. I definitely think I'm part of that. Mm-hmm. Because you think you would be?
You think you'd care if it wasn't for me?
I wouldn't have kids if it wasn't for you.
That's true. Okay, so I would say the bigger picture of this, I do this, if anybody cares, that I'm not a Pinterest person. I would never put any of this on Pinterest. I don't even fucking know how.
Okay. Wait, you're losing me a little bit. How you do what?
How I think overall they see us being kind, caring human beings, and that's how they know that they need to be. But I also think, as much as I'm not an organized person, I think that there are like strategies that I use. I don't know where I got them from, but I think there are certain things that I do.
I think we both...
I'm about to tell you about that.
Oh, I thought you were asking me.
No.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm about to tell you like what they are. And I subtly do things, I think, around the house that you have nothing to do with. But I think you'll realize it. And I don't even think I point it out, but I think you'll realize it once I say it. I think I have art and posters around the, like, about diversity and who you should be as a person around the house. We don't have art around the house except for like pictures of our kids.
Yeah, that's our art.
But I have like something on the refrigerator. I have something upstairs in Mia's room. Like, I have stuff about this is who we are as people and this is we're accepting and, you know, Black Lives Matter and all this stuff that we put up there. No immigrant is illegal. We have all this maybe more political stuff, which I don't even know if we should say, but I'm saying it.
Okay.
That we believe and that we put up as part of our like household, I guess, beliefs.
Yeah. I think that stuff is great. I really do. And we both believe in that wholeheartedly.
Oh, here we go.
But
yeah,
I think it's the day-to-day stuff that we both do.
Okay, wait. Let me then.
Oh.
No, I think subtly this is the type of stuff that by doing things like that that your kids don't even realize, it does more than you think. And they don't. I'm not pushing anything on them. I'm not lecturing them. Mm-hmm. I'm just putting a piece of art on the wall. Mm-hmm. And they're going to pass that piece of art and they're going to take it in whether they want to or not. If I put a piece of art up that says something like the opposite, they would take that in and not even know it. So I don't even need to lecture them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead. Why aren't you not even fucking listening to me?
I'm listening to everything.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
You're talking about art. You're talking about influential art. What were you going to say? I was saying that's all great. Mm-hmm. I think that's important, but it's almost insignificant compared to what we show them on a daily basis. When I'm with my kids, whether you're there or even if you're not there, doesn't matter. I make sure my kids see that I hold the door open for somebody if I'm walking in somewhere.
I get that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That. If I'm at a restaurant.
And Ian so obviously does.
When I'm at a restaurant with my kids, every single thing I say to the waiter or waitress is thank you, excuse me.
Right. Oh, yeah, you're
is
right.
Is all those kinds of things.
Yes.
It's every day. They come to, I have a retail store. They've seen me at work in the store. Thank you so much. How can I help you? What can I do? Like, all those things that it's an everyday thing that's in your face. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how you treat people. It doesn't matter their social status. It doesn't matter their financial status. It doesn't matter what they're doing. Everybody deserves respect. Mm-hmm. And that's what I instill in my kids.
We were out today. We took the kids into Princeton where we grew up. And we took them to a bunch of stores that we wanted to go to. And our middle son had to go to the bathroom, so he was heading to a hotel that we knew we had a bathroom, and a couple opened the door, and he held the door open, and he said, go ahead. He said, I'll hold it for you. And they come out, and they said to me, oh, my God, like, is that your kid? I'm like, yeah. They're like, our kid would never do that. Like, that's mm-hmm. so nice. So, yes.
We hear that stuff all the time.
We do. We do.
Mm-hmm. So I think,
and listen, like I said, I so bad that I feel like I have to say this, but we do plenty of stupid shit.
Of course.
Right.
But this is what's important to us. Ooh, it's,
yeah.
It's showing our children that you have to respect people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more important than a lot of other things mm-hmm. that
we, to us.
To us. Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that we think we have to instill in our mm-hmm. kids that if you do these things for the rest of your life, you're going to go places. You're going to do things that many people...
Or you're going to surround yourself at least with the people who you're going to want around you.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So, but aside from the fact that it's an everyday thing that we do, I also think that I have some, as much as I'm not an organized person, I think I have some like strategies into how I sneak this stuff, not sneak this stuff into their lives, because that sounds like, you know, like manipulative. It's not like that.
No. It's like subliminal.
Maybe like that. Yeah. Maybe more subliminal. Yeah. So I think, first of all, I put posters around the house. I think we said that.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that, so when I'm in the kitchen cleaning, I know you don't think that very often, right? But whoever cleans the kitchen picks the music. And we have Sonos. I go on Sonos, and I'm very deliberate in what our kids listen to. Like,
Sonos, that's true. I'll hear it like 6:30 in the morning when you're trying to like get me ready for the, and you're doing your thing, and all of a sudden there's music blaring out of the kitchen. Mm-hmm. You do that all the time.
And it's not accidental. Like, I will play music. Sometimes it's about the lyrics. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's about an artist. And our kids are the type of people who are going to be like, oh, who is this? And I will say, oh, you know, this is, you know, whoever it is. So Bob Dylan, whose music inspired like social change around the world, and you know, or this is Common, the rapper, who you know sings about respecting like women, and I legitimately like will try, not always, but I will try to sometimes put on people who I think our kids are gonna like the music and mm-hmm. ask what it's about.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Right. So we were at a record store today, and I was so happy because I brought Mia and Ian to the record store, and they were both flipping through the records because we got Mia a record player for Hanukkah. And I don't know. It just like hit something in me that she's looking for Queen, and he's looking for Green Day and Guns N' Roses. And like, I was so excited that they were so excited to go and find all these old timer, like, awesome bands, and I was so excited about that because mm-hmm. they get it. Like, they get they're looking for some cool old school music on vinyl.
Yeah.
So yeah, the music thing to me, all right, we have our differences in music and our opinions about.
Yeah, you're a music snob and I'm not.
It always comes down to that.
Well, it is. It's okay. True.
I have more respect for music, I think, than you do.
Okay.
You don't think so?
Respect
yes.
for music?
As in, yes.
Because you cut off a whole element and of genres of music that you think it's more about respect.
What do you mean I cut off?
I think that you don't even like think of pop music as a category. I think you think it's bullshit.
I think today it's bullshit.
Okay.
Not 20 years ago and previous okay. to that. Okay.
I won't go into it.
Okay.
But I do think that our kids are, yes, they are, we explain to them the message of the songs that they're listening to.
Yes.
We're never like, oh, when you're older, we'll explain it to you. We try to like change it and manipulate it to be able to explain it to them. All right. So did I talk about books at all?
No.
Okay. So that's another thing. I think I've done well. I think when it comes to books, I've done like a really good job with our kids. So we have a coffee table in our family room. And I, whether or not you realize it, I circulate certain books that I want them to read. Because when you're sitting there at a coffee table and you have 4 minutes or 5 minutes of nothing to do, your iPad's dead or your phone is dead or whatever, you're going to subliminally like skip to.
Wait, what do you do? I'm not following.
You don't
you.
Even know.
No, I still don't even
right.
know.
Right. We have books at our coffee table always.
Where? Which one? The one in the family room?
How many fucking coffee tables do we have? In the East Wing, we have a coffee table.
Does the butler bring the
yes,
books?
Yes, exactly.
To
I don't have
table.
One in the West Wing or the North Wing, but
you
in the
books?
South and the East Wings.
What do you do?
Fucking A. I'm lost. Really?
Yeah, I have no idea.
So I go to
about.
Barnes and Noble, yeah. And I am always like reading up on maybe not political books, but it is kind of political, socially relevant books, socially conscious books, books about stuff that is in my agenda. And this is where maybe it's wrong, but this is how I parent about what I think is important. And I put them on our coffee table, or I put them on the back of our toilet in the bathroom. And you don't realize this?
No, I still can't even. Right. No.
Okay.
What do you do? So you put books on the coffee table?
Yeah, on the coffee table and under the coffee table, because there's two tiers to our coffee table.
Oh, we have a second tier?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And listen, and they do. They pick it up and they'll look through.
So you secretly put books on
the table?
No, I don't table?
Secretly do it. I just do it. I buy books and I know that if I say to them, oh, do you want to read the book about the March on Washington when Martin Luther King was, you know, mm-hmm. blah, blah, they're going to be like, no, I fucking don't.
Oh, so if you leave it there,
yeah,
they
just
might
leave
pick it
there.
Up and be like,
absolutely. And they
you
do.
You do that?
Are you for real?
I swear to God, yes. I don't even know anything yes. about this. That's awesome.
100%. Yeah, and
is that true?
Go look right now.
Really?
Gut up and look right now.
Should I pause this and go look?
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So you proved me wrong. I just looked literally 10 seconds ago, and there was two books on the table. I saw the top one only. I saw that there were two. And it was 100 ways to do something.
To help change the world, yeah. 100 small ways to help change the world.
That's pretty cool. I never noticed it. What do you got next?
Your favorite part, right? Where I talk about what a great dad you are.
Somehow I think this is going to like turn into like, well, you
no,
don't do this,
I'm trying to keep
but
it to
you do this.
Right. I could do that with every single one.
Of course
yes,
you could.
But I'm going to keep it to strengths.
So how am I a good parent? I can't wait to hear this.
I mean... The first thing, and I think the what?
I don't
why
know.
Are you laughing? What?
I feel like you struggled to.
No, I think you're. I think you're a great dad. Do I think that there are things?
Here it is. You don't do this, but
I have stuff I can work on too. We're always trying to grow
There's
and become
nothing
better
you could
people.
Work on.
You're so fun.
Yeah.
You're like the fun dad.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I won't get into all the ways it's annoying. But
give me an example. How am I fun?
Riling them up before bed, like I said in the Pet Peeves episode. Man. When I'm like trying to get them to sleep and then you come
so
in.
So the only time I rile them up is before bedtime?
No, you rile them up. But I don't care about other times as much.
I know, but you didn't mention bedtime. That part too.
Yeah, it's annoying.
I love playing with them. I really do. Mm-hmm. I love to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're definitely fun. You're way calmer than I am.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. I almost think it's because you don't give a shit.
No, I have a different approach to...
To what?
To...
You don't discipline at all.
Oh, yes, I do, but I do it very differently. I don't do it at the top of my lungs.
What do you do
it
in your head? think about it and hope that subliminally it's going to like fucking shoot over
I
to them?
I sit them down and talk to them in a normal voice and try to let them know what they're doing is wrong and why.
No, you're confusing yourself with Phil Dunphy on Modern Family. You don't ever actually do that.
Oh, yes, I do. And then I scream when they don't.
I don't. What do you sit them down?
Of course I do.
What?
And I tell them why what they did was wrong. And I let them know why instead of just screaming at them over and over again.
I have not seen this right. happen.
Yeah, like your books that aren't really there.
My book is fucking there. You just saw it. But yeah, you are much calmer than I am sometimes.
Yep.
It's really hard.
Yeah,
it's so hard
because
to just
that's
say.
You. That's just the way it is.
What do you mean?
If there's any kind of compliment
oh,
comes
I'm
with
sorry.
The.
Is that true?
Of course it is.
That's not true.
Just
I think
right
I
there.
Compliment you all the time. No, I'm serious. I say nice things to you all the time.
We're talking about parenting here.
Well.
Yeah. All right, keep going. To break out your list, how else am I a good parent?
I don't think you're judgmental of them at all. Like, I don't think you have an ounce of judgment about them. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, I just think that you... Like sometimes when our kids will do something, like I'll judge them.
In what way? Like what do you mean by judge?
I don't know.
I
don't know how to make it sound not petty, but I'll get like frustrated with them, or like, you know, if they come down and their hair is a mess and they want to go out and they're like in pajamas and we're going somewhere and you're like, who cares? Just let them wear pajamas. Or like, I care. Our kids look like, you know, like I said before, like they are by no means like the royal fucking children. They like, if we get them, you know,
so if he matching, wears like the good. Wrong matching bow tie with his outfit, you get upset.
Exactly, I get upset. Right. Yes, yes, okay. I do. I like them all to have matching bow ties.
Yeah, like I'll put them in. All the boys.
No,
obviously.
You won't. They'll put themselves in. You'll be like, go get dressed, and they'll come down in like a fucking clown hat and
clown hat.
A wrestling shirt and like short shorts in the middle of winter, and you're like. It's great.
Yeah. Well, Mia, I wouldn't even know how to say.
You're pick really out like an the outfit. Adam Sandler and Big Daddy.
Yeah. With Mia, I wouldn't even know how to pick out an outfit, but I do judge with her actually, because it's like 20 degrees outside and she'll come down with like short shorts.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, let's go. Mm-hmm. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Mm-hmm. And then 3 seconds later, I'm like, all right, fine.
Right. But if you could pick out matching clothing, why not just do it?
Because like, I don't know.
I mean, just... you legitimately, they'll come downstairs and I'll be like, I don't know how the fuck you put, like, you picked that out. It's crazy.
Because I let them pick it out.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah, you are like Adam Sandler in Big Daddy, only he.
So the positive that I'm non-judgmental turns to the negative once again. Is there anything that I'm just good at? Anything?
Yes.
That I'm just good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without the downside.
Yes. You make it so that we always have food on the table and we have a home over our heads. I'm serious.
Well, that's only because I hunt out in the back and I provide food for my family.
And we've had 6 homes that we've lived in. No, yes, you're good. You're so good at all of this. All of it. I take all the bad stuff back. We said before, you play with them. You're so good at playing with them.
Now listen,
you don't let them win enough, though. No, I'm just kidding.
What'd you say?
I said you don't let them win enough, though. No, I'm just kidding.
I will never let them win. So thanks for the appreciation. I appreciate that. Matched up with all the negativity. That's good that I'm a good dad. And
oh, wait, there's something else.
Oh. Wait,
no, you play with them so much.
We did that.
Well, we said that earlier.
Okay.
But yeah, I think you're so good at playing with them, and like I said, you'll sit with them and like really play, and I legitimately like will set a timer and be like, I will play with you for 6 minutes.
Oh, you mean like actually like a game or something? Like,
yeah,
because we just said before about like rough play, like that kind
no,
of play.
No,
that's
no,
not
no, like actual
about.
Play,
right? Like
you'll
games
actually
and,
like play, you know, or you know, I spend tons of time with our kids, but like I said, the whole playmate thing of like a mommy, like I'm not a fucking camp counselor and I'm not a cruise director and I am like, just listen, I have shit to do. Like,
well, look.
And I make playdates for them and, you know, yes, I do play with them sometimes, but that to me, a lot of mom, you know, people post pictures of them like all playing, you know, whatever. When we try to play games as a family, it's a fucking disaster.
Mm-mm.
A disaster.
That does not work.
I mean, like, we have such good intentions and we'll sit down for family game night and like 10 minutes later I'm like, I fucking like hate all of you.
Well, there's nothing that all the kids at the same time can do together that they're all interested in 100%.
I don't think we've ever gotten through like a game. Like that whole family game like, night is bullshit.
Individually?
It's called family fight night.
It's family go fuck yourself and everybody go to your own room.
Yeah,
night.
Right. And this is why we have a babysitter.
Individually, I can play for an hour, 2 hours, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So I have this actually.
All right, slow your roll.
What?
You don't play for an hour or 2 hours with them.
I think I kind of do, and I'm going to explain why.
Okay.
So this is why I think I'm a good dad.
Mm.
Yeah. So
you are a good dad. Can I just say you really are? You're a very good dad. I don't want there to be any.
Okay. But.
No, you're a great, the same way I'm a good mom, but we have our shit, you know, it's hard. And it's very, I think, like I said, we're also like self-deprecating people. So to like sit here and be like, oh, we do this so well and this so well, like that's not comfortable. That's out of our comfort zone.
This is way out of our comfort
way
zone.
Out of our comfort zone, yeah. To like give ourselves and each other compliments.
Right.
That's like no way.
And give ourselves credit for being good parents.
Right.
But
if I talk to you to somebody else, like if I'm out with my girlfriends and I like you that night,
yeah,
I will say really good things about you being a dad.
I would love to hear them. Or was that it?
No, I do. But, you know, it depends how, what kind of,
right,
are we getting along or not. We have three kids who could not be more different from each other, like right, their interests and everything. And I think that we are really good at fostering each of their individual interests. Like we don't, we're, you know what I mean? We're not at all like trying to manipulate them into like, I mean, I try to manipulate them into like, no, you don't want to do that activity because I don't want to drive you.
Right.
But other than that, I think, you know, we're good at that.
Yeah, I'll never say to Jonah, like, let's not watch this space video. Let's go throw a football. I know he's not interested in that.
Yeah, right.
And just because, like, I have fun playing sports with
and
my
because
kids.
Because you can watch a space video on the couch.
Right. So to wrap that all up, I'm a good dad. So we started talking before about how are you a good parent? How is Danielle a good mom? Do you think you're a good mom? Come on, search your soul. Do you really like look deep down inside?
Yes, I think I am a very good mom. I think
that didn't take very long for you to think about. By the way,
I don't need to do much soul searching. I mean, yes, am I a typical mom? No, not in the least. I'm not.
No, but we've covered that.
Yeah. I'm not a typical mom. We're not typical parents. Sure, I think I'm a good mom in a lot of ways. I think that my kids, I think the biggest thing is that my kids know that I will absolutely 100% accept them no matter what. I mean, like for real, there's nothing that they'll be able to, you know, that they could, I'll be pissed if they like, you know, bring somebody home one day who treats them like shit or who is an asshole or who, you know,
yeah, but I don't
isn't
think they
gonna
would.
Support. Well, who the fuck knows?
Right.
But I just, you know, that to me would be like a stab in the heart. But anything short of that, who they bring home, you know, religion, ethnicity, you know, gender, whatever it is, I will 100. I can 100% say I will have like no issues whatsoever. So I think that's probably the biggest thing is that when it comes down to it, do I scream a lot? Yes. Am I unorganized?
I'm glad you're doing it even to yourself.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I can't. Am I unorganized? Yeah, because I can. This is what I do to myself. But I you know, I can think of 1,000 ways in which I'm bad. But the important shit is there. You know what I mean? And I have to remember that when I'm so hard on myself. But
is there a term for this? Like you can't be positive without bringing up the negative. What is that? Like, you can't just say something positive.
Fucked.
And leave it at that. What
like
is that?
Just fucked in the head.
Man.
Yeah.
Even to yourself, which thank God. At least you do it to yourself.
Right. But I think also, in the other sense, I'm going to start with like, yes, I don't keep a very clean home. I don't keep a very clean home.
I have
like,
that in my
it's
notes
not
too.
Organized. Of course you do.
Yeah.
But that's not a positive.
Well, I know.
Oh, so you did it too. So, but I think our house is comfortable as hell. And I think that people come here and feel at home. I don't think like sometimes you can go, like I remember being younger and going to sleepovers at people's houses and like just not feeling comfortable at their house. You know, like they just, it wasn't like a comfortable vibe or the mom was like super anal or, you know, just like a very, you felt like an outsider. Like you didn't feel like they were bringing you in as, you know, part of the family for while you're like staying there.
Like in that episode of Friends, which was on this morning. I actually saw it this morning where Phoebe and Rachel's apartment catches fire. So they have to both either move into Joey's or Monica's. So Rachel moves into Joey's and she drops spaghetti on the floor. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. And he's like, well, you're a Joey's. And he drops his spaghetti on the floor.
Right. That's awesome.
And then he picks it up and eats it. And he's like, stop wasting the food. Just don't, you know.
And I guess Monica's experience would be exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that's a very good example. Yeah, that's exactly how it is. Like if someone were to come to our house and like break something, we'd be like, no problem. We'll glue it back together. Or, you know, we'll throw it in the garbage.
Nothing that needs to be glued
back
together.
We have nothing to break. But no, you know what I'm saying. I think people come here, kids, adult, everybody comes here, I think, and it just feels like it's home.
It all, yeah, just you know? Go with it.
And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, we're laid back. We're not, you know, we try to keep our house somewhat nice, but we have dogs and kids and, you know, so...
Well, even our nicest room in the house, this room, the bar room,
right.
We still have the chair that Augie ate
right.
half of.
Right, so, right. It's like, what's the fuck's the point? It's just going to happen again. So, yeah. So that's, to me, those things are like, you know, and I think that I push our kids to be, you know, more. Like, I think I'm always constantly pushing them and taking them out of their comfort zone and mm-hmm. trying to get them to try new things and experiment with new things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that I make sure that they are always, like, growing and, you know.
Growing?
Well, like, I don't mean taller? Like a fucking plant. I mean, like, mentally, intellectually, right. Emotionally. Yes. Yes.
I thought you were making sure they keep growing taller.
No, I mean, that's another thing. We're not going to have tall kids.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, good. So that's it for you as a good mom.
I mean, those are the main, I could go on. And, no, those are my main things that I think that I'm proud of. Oh, I just have a few parenting accounts that I think that if people aren't following that are really fun, that I like, that kind of inspire me. First is Chrissy Teigen. She's John Legend's wife. She's awesome, funny, very self-deprecating. Like, love her.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds, you follow him? Oh, no, you're on Instagram.
Anybody,
right,
yeah.
right. He's just so funny. He makes fun of himself. He, you know, like, well, says
like
things
him,
that
yeah.
borderline like us, like borderline on probably, like, I'm sure people get pissed at him for saying what he says about, you know, his kids are fucking annoying and this good. And that. Glennon Doyle, Craig Melton, and Abby Wambach. So Glennon Doyle, I've spoken about 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. She wrote Love Warrior. I love her. She was married to Craig Melton, who they got married very young. It's a whole involved thing. But they wound up getting divorced.
Okay.
After they get divorced, Glennon Doyle winds up being with Abby Wambach, a woman, female, like Olympic soccer player. And they get married. And Craig Melton, though, is still, you know, like, they're kind of like the three of them, like, co-parenting. So, you know, they're always posting. You always see them post on social media about how they're working together to raise the kids. And they get along so well. And they've gone through so much shit, but they have come to a place where they, like, really love each other. And, you know, it's like, it really is like one big family. Like, you know, like, they do really well together. So I think that's inspiring, because mm-hmm. I often think, like, if we got divorced, I think it would be a shit show, like, trying to run things, you and me.
What do you mean?
I just think that it would be hard for us to, like, pull off pretending to like each other if we hate, like, if we were divorced.
Why would we have to pretend we like each other?
For the kids.
But they know what divorce is. It's not like.
No, I know, but.
We live together and pretend that we didn't
get
divorced.
No, not live together, but people get along and do a good job of it. I mean, I do know divorced people who get along really well and who do a really good job. And then obviously there are people who don't and can't, and I get that because you've been hurt,
well,
you know?
Well, I'm sure there's people who are like mutually agree, like, look, this isn't working. Like, we're friends.
Right.
So let's just separate friends and, you know.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But.
I'm saying I think it's I don't know that I would be that big of a person. I think it's hard.
Well, I don't think we could be.
Right.
Because that's not why we would divorce.
Right. Right.
And
then Jenny Mullen, who's Jason Big from I have to, like, bring everybody to a level that you can understand.
Sure.
Like, so Jenny Mullen is married to Jason Biggs, who was American Pie.
Him.
Okay. So she's fucking hysterical, and I've read her books, and I think she's great, and she's just so freaking funny. And wrong, and, like, so wrong it's right. She's
okay.
Great. Mm-hmm. That's it.
All right. I have a lot more. Should we stop
mm-hmm.
and save it for, like, another part two or
something?
Save
it for Parenting Strengths part two, all about Danielle.
No, I'm going to keep thinking about ways that I'm a good dad more and more.
Okay. Are you done yet?
Yeah, because... You actually asked me so many more questions, and I have a lot more answers to them.
Right,
so let's
we'll
just save it because
we'll
we're getting long.
Part two.
Yeah, we're getting long.
Okay. We said it was going to be 5 minutes, but I think 5 minutes of it is going to be us talking positive, and the rest is us just like talking negatively about ourselves. Yeah. So like, this might be the shortest episode ever, but because we couldn't just say like positive, that should maybe be like, my sister is coming on the podcast next week. Yeah, I don't think you knew about this.
I did not know about this.
She's coming on Friday. She's going to do a podcast with us. She's a life coach.
Wait, next Friday?
And she's
going
to do this coming Friday. Yeah, she's going to come on to, huh?
That's bad for me.
Well, you figure it out.
Is that New Year's?
No, what?
What day is it?
The 20th, 21st, 22nd.
Oh, this Friday?
Yeah, oh my God.
Is that what you said?
Yes, like four times.
Oh, this Friday I could do. Next Friday, I can't.
Okay, I'm so glad everybody has to hear this. So,
you want me to explain why I can't?
Right, exactly. So we're going to talk about goals for 2019. Maybe one of our goals should be that we want to be able to like say something positive without a negative attached to
it. Oh, I can do that. I have no problem with that.
Yeah?
It's you.
I don't think you did such a good job.
Well,
of that
I did
either.
It on purpose because it's only fair.
Oh, okay.
Damn. We're talking about goals for 2019 with your sister. So three of us doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to be here?
Why not? Why wouldn't you want to be here?
Because she's like, she's a life coach and she's like smart and shit.
Yes,
and I don't
straight.
Want two women putting me in my place, especially being sisters.
Well, you're with us all the time, so.
But I love her, so right. I'm right. comfortable. It's okay.
Right. Yeah. I'm excited for her to come on. I think
me too.
She is, as much as, you know, I don't like to admit it because she is my big sister, but she really, let me tell you. She like has her shit together. I don't know how we're siblings, but she like legitimately is like the most down to earth, level headed, like completely sane individual.
She could be in a yoga pose,
but you love her. Like it's not annoying. What?
She could be in a yoga pose 24 hours a day.
Right. Yeah. She's
like level headed. And
I don't know how it happened. I think maybe my dad's sperm went bad by the time I was born. Like I was 7 years later. I think it was just spoiled. The sperm was spoiled, and then well, like my brother got the freshest sperm because he's like a fucking genius.
Yeah.
And then my sister got like, you know, it was good, not expired yet.
If you guys were the same age,
I got like the fucking E. coli sperm.
If you guys were the same age, it would have been like the movie Twins, where she's like Arnold Schwarzenegger and you're Danny DeVito.
Yes. Oh yes, it's so true. But she loves me anyway, man. All right,
so let's close this out.
So rate and review, please.
Keep you.
But we do need people to rate and review.
Yes, so
you
important.
Can send us all holiday gifts at Marriage and Martinis care of. Don't send us gifts.
Sign up.
Share our podcast with your friends and
email us marriageandmartinis@gmail.com. Instagram @marriageandmartinis. Everything @marriageandmartinis, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
We out?
We're out.
That was lit.
Oh, my God.
Goodbye, guys.